Hey, we're here. Hello. Welcome to the first inaugural numero uno number one episode of the podcast Sure Fire Sessions.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds good, right?
Cool.
This is my first podcast. Joe, is this your first podcast?
Absolutely.
I'm Dave Springer, rock and roll singer.
I'm Joe DiMeo, owner of Sure Fire Recording Studios, and sometimes I play guitar.
Musician, engineer, rock and roll renaissance man, Joe DiMeo.
Yeah, I guess they all kind of apply.
All right, Joe. Let's talk about the studio. We're here at the studio. When did this studio open?
That's a great first question, I think. Sure Fire has actually been existence at this location since 1978.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting our 41st year at this spot, which amazes me. And I've owned it since 95, so I'm into my 24th year.
Wow.
Which amazes me and blows my mind even more to think about that I've owned the studio longer than the original owners.
Hmm.
So, you know, speaking of the original owners, I have to mention them, of course, because they started the studio.
Sure.
And, it was a father and son, George and Tom Elliott, local Long Branch guys. As far as I know, the beginnings of Sure Fire started in their basement around 1971. Mm-hmm. I believe they lived off of Atlantic Avenue, which isn't too far from here.
Right.
And when they first started it, the studio was called GT. George and Tom.
Aha. Yeah. So it wasn't always Sure Fire.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll get to that in a second. But so father and the son, George and Tom Elliott, you know, had the studio in their basement, I guess for, you know, 7 years about, approximately. And then I guess they outgrew it. And at some point they found this location here on Broadway, where the studio's been ever since.
And when did they move in here, Broadway?
Sometime in 77, you know, because they opened up in 78, you know, had to do a lot of renovations here.
Right,
they were the ones that actually, you know, put the walls up and the ceiling and all the treatments and everything. So that's what I've been told from Tom.
And all this equipment they brought into, the big brownie and...
No, that I brought that in. But, you know, when I did purchase the studio, there, you know, obviously were things here. It was a, you know, functioning recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the grand piano was here, the Hammond organ, the Leslie. There was a drum set. There was a couple amplifiers, some mics, some outboard. But,
you
know, the majority of the stuff I've accumulated over the... I hate to even say it, 35, 36 years I've been doing this. Yeah, so kind of dating myself here, but it's all good. You know, I'm still here. And
it's good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Hey, so. I was here when Tom, I think I recorded with Tom one time.
Yeah.
Putting my age out there now too, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, we are children of the corn.
Yeah. it's been here for so long. I mean, how many people, how many artists, how many groups have been in here? I mean, there's got to be countless.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly thousands. I mean, you know, tens of thousands. I don't know about that, but, you know, it's a lot for sure, you know.
What are some of the names? Give me a short list. Some of the names have been in here that you worked with.
Well, you know, I mean, Bruce Springsteen, obviously, John Bon Jovi.
Right.
You know, Southside, Skid Row, Monster Magnet. I mean, you know, as far as guys in the area that are bigger names. Sly Stone was actually here for a while back in the 80s. He was working on a project with Lance Larson.
How did that go?
I don't know. I wasn't involved in those sessions.
Oh, okay.
But from what I was told, I don't know that it was very productive.
Yeah.
But he was here. So, you know, could definitely say that.
I heard Sly wasn't so productive.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, you know, one of the rock and roll tragedies of all time. Because, you know, me growing up in the 60s and 70s, you know, I was very fortunate to have older siblings that played, you know, a wide variety of music. And, you know, Sly and was always playing in my house. My older sister was at Woodstock. And, you know, so... I grew up on Sly, so I'm a big, big fan.
Cool.
Yeah. So real quick, I just wanted to go back and touch on a little bit more of the history of the studio.
Go ahead.
You know, we spoke about Tom and George Elliott.
Right.
So they were the original owners of the studio. Like I said, they started out in their basement,
mm-hmm.
and then they moved to this location in 1978. And then I'm not exactly sure of the year, but it was certainly in the early to mid 80s, they took on a partner, and that partner was Gary Talent from Springsteen's band, the bass player. So, you know, Gary was up here for a while. You know, again, I'm not exactly sure of his time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, he was definitely here, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. And he did a lot of records up here in his time. That was, you know, one of the times when Sly was here. And, you know, he worked, you know, on the La Bamba soundtrack and, you know, some Bruce stuff, you know, all kinds of things happened.
What,
you
was
know.
He playing and recording, he engineering
was.
Too?
Yeah, I don't think he was an engineer, but he was definitely producing bands up here and artists, you know. And he had a nice run here for sure. You know, that was, you know, kind of his... For Ray into the recording thing, you know, I think, you know, he may have subsequently, you know, moved. I think he was in Nashville for a while and did it there, but I don't think he's doing it anymore.
No.
So then after Gary, you know, left, you know, Tom and George, you know, they had the studio running, and then I actually recorded here in 1978. That's my kind of connection to the studio. Okay. You know, the first time I ever came here was 1978 when the studio first opened. I was let's see, I don't want to say exactly how old I was, but I was 15. So I came up here with one of my bands, and we recorded. And, you know, the first time I walked into this room, it was like, oh, my God. You know, so it was an amazing experience for a young kid to walk into a room like this and be, you know, blown away at the size of the room and, you know, just how professional it was. You know, so I was always enamored with this spot, you know, so... Tom and I had remained friends, you know, throughout the years. And, you know, I had other studios. Actually, I started in Asbury Park with my first studio, I guess around 84. So, so like I said, I guess it was around the end of 94. Tom called me and he said he wanted to, you know, get out of the business and would I be interested in buying it. And I said, yeah, absolutely. So we got together and talked. You know, we came up with a deal. And
here you are.
I've been here since, ever since.
How did you learn to do all this? Was it from Tom?
It wasn't from Tom, but ironically, Tom did give audio engineering classes back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, I said, you know, because I always had this kind of fascination with the guitar part, the musical part of it, you know, the band part, but I always had the other part, you know, like, wow, how did they get that, you know, guitar sound? I mean, let's listen to that bass drum sound, you know. So I was always, you know, enamored with that as well as the playing part of it. So, you know, I started out, you know, whatever, you know, I bought a little 4-track and, you know, mic and this and that. And, you know, I learned, you know, about compressors and, you know, EQs.
So you're self-taught?
Self-taught, yeah.
Oh, okay,
I never had anybody teach me. I was fortunate enough to work around some pretty amazing engineers. Andy Johns, may he rest in peace. You know, he did some of the biggest records of all time. Led Zeppelin 4, Led Zeppelin 3. He worked on with the Stones, Exile on Main Street, Goat's Head Soup.
Right.
You know, that's just to name a few. I mean, the records he's done are just incredible.
So you must have picked up some stuff.
Yeah, from Andy, and I worked with Eddie Kramer a little bit. You know, so, you know, these guys are icons in the rock and roll, you know, engineering.
Sure.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I was certainly fortunate enough to work around, you know, some guys like that up here at Surefire and watching them work and, you know, nicking some of their ideas, as the English would say, right? You nick it.
So you were paying attention.
I was paying attention. Yeah, yeah.
You know, were smart to do that.
You know, and you know, got a lot of great stories, you know, because it's no secret that Led Zeppelin is my favorite band.
Yeah.
So having worked with Andy and Eddie, you know, they both worked with Zeppelin at different points in their careers.
Right.
I got some good stories. So,
I bet.
Yeah.
We want to hear them all. Yeah. We want to hear them all,
maybe
Joe.
Next time.
Next time.
That'll be a whole nother podcast.
Okay. Where'd you grow up?
Great question as well. I've pretty much been down the shore here for my whole life. I was born in Jersey City.
Oh, okay.
Lived there till I was 9.
Right.
Then my parents moved down to Belmar. So I've been a shore guy my whole life. I had a little stint out in California for a bit, but Monmouth County guy my whole life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I know pretty much everybody in these parts.
You're a local legend.
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, you stick around long enough, you meet people.
You meet a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, so.
When did you start playing music, getting into music?
Yeah, so when we moved from Union City to Belmar when I was nine. Mm-hmm. My mom, in all of her endless knowledge, and decided that she thought it would be a good idea for me to take up an instrument. So
how old were you?
I was nine.
Nine,
you know,
okay.
When we first moved down here, you know, because I didn't know anybody.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I was starting in a new school at sure. nine, you know, whatever grade it was, second grade maybe, I don't remember. She took me to Blue Note Music in Belmar.
Okay.
On Main Street in between 5th and 6th Avenue.
I remember
it. Yeah, man. And that's where I had my first guitar lessons with a very dear friend of mine now. I mean, he's been a dear friend for, I want to say, over 40 years.
Wow.
John Harrington. Okay. He's a lead guitarist in Steely Dan now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So John is an amazing person. Phenomenal musician and just all around great guy. So I was very fortunate to study with some really good players. I also studied with Tal Farlow when I was a little bit older. He taught at the Blue Note location right here in Long Branch on Broadway,
okay.
down the street from here. It was maybe a mile, I guess, west of here.
Right.
So they had three stores. And I was fortunate enough, you know, when I was 16, you know, the owner, Sandy and Charlie, gave me a shot teaching. So I taught when I was 16 at their Point Pleasant Beach store. They have one in Point Pleasant Beach.
Right. When you were 16,
when
were teaching.
When I was 16, yeah. And another dear friend of mine, another local guitar player, legend, Bobby Mancari, used to pick me up on Saturdays and drive me down there.
Wow.
You know, before I had a car and a license. So I'm eternally grateful to Sandy and Charlie and Bobby for, you know, being so kind.
Right. Learning all your lessons.
Yeah.
It's always
nice
to have a ride when you don't have your license.
Well, yeah. And I used to hitchhike, you know, and do all that stuff. And, you know, that was probably not the wisest thing I ever did. But I survived like everybody else who did it.
Back in the day, you could do that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Nowadays, forget it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So.
I mean, you were probably in so many bands then, I guess. I mean.
Yeah, you know, just growing up and, you know, just all different. All my friends, you know, doing different things, you know, and did a lot of playing, you know. But ironically, you know, I've never lived in Long Branch, but I don't think I've ever left this. I mean, I spend more time in this town than any place that I could possibly imagine. I mean, just from, you know, all the bands, that it seemed like when I was a teenager in the 20s, we all rehearsed here in Long Branch.
Mm-hmm.
We always played at Club Spanky, the Brighton Bar, you know, all the clubs around here. Teaching at the store.
Right.
And then obviously, you know, once I bought the studio, you know, all the time I've spent here in the last 24 plus years.
Yeah.
So.
And you're playing with Dark Horse now. That's your band?
Yeah, right now I have a band called Dark Horse, mm-hmm. and it's a classic rock, hard rock cover band. You know, mm-hmm. we do Zeppelin, Purple, Sabbath, that type of stuff.
You guys playing a lot or?
Not so much right now. You know, we're big and we're loud, you know, so it's a difficult thing for us to try and find a place that has a stage and a PA and like that can accommodate us. You know, it's like we can't go into Patrick's Pub and
no.
You know, we'd you know, hit one chord and they'd kick us out. So, but that's what we do. You know, that's what we know how to do. Unfortunately, for good or bad, you know, we're big and we're loud. So,
I know the feeling. I'm playing with some guys now that they like to crank it up too.
Yeah, man.
You know them well.
Yeah,
so.
I do know them well. You know, and. You know, for better or worse, that's what we are. So
I got to get some sort of ear mod or something in my ear so I can hear, man. These guys are so loud.
Huh? What?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Is rock dead, Joe?
Is rock dead? Well, I don't know that rock is dead. You know, I think the music business as a whole has certainly changed dramatically.
Right.
And, you know, it's just so much harder to... make money.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly not anywhere as remotely close to what it used to be. So, you know, I guess just like anything else, you have to evolve and you know, try and figure out other revenue streams and know how to get your music out there. I mean, you know, obviously it's Spotify and YouTube, but, you know, I mean, I think you have to have 100,000, you know, streams before you even get.
Yeah.
You know, it's less than a half a cent per stream. So, you know, I mean, how do you make money? You know, so you have to go out there, I guess, and play and tour
play.
And,
yep.
you know, get people to know you. And hopefully over the course of time, you could build up where you're getting a guarantee to go play and obviously sell your merchandise and things like that.
I mean, you watch the Grammys. You don't see a lot of bands out there
No.
You know, it's no. it's a lot of this, you know, same these singers and the rap, and it just seems like there's not a ton of bands that are making it.
Yeah, know? Making it is definitely, you know, a subjective term.
Yeah.
Know? So, you know, even, you know, bands that have been around for a while, you know, Skid Row and, you know, those types of bands, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure they're not selling, you know, great, you know, numbers like they used to, you know, so they got to go out and tour and,
right.
you know, do it other ways.
Get those downloads.
Yeah, well, God bless them if they could do it. Because you know, I know it's not easy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joe's got a website. It is the SurefireRecordingStudios.com.
That's right? correct.
We're going to try and put this podcast up there. Maybe we can try and keep this thing going.
We can make it some kind of bi-weekly, once a month, you know, whatever. You know, have a different different, you know, band come in, you know, different whatever, you know, we'll try and, you know, if it seems like people want to hear about this stuff, we'll make it, we'll make a go of it.
What about an email that we can maybe give an email at? Maybe we can get some feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
Good, bad, indifferent, anything, let us know, because, you know, we're used to being criticized, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you can't please everybody. We certainly learned that over the course of 35 plus years. So, you know, if you want to send us an email, you could send it to my personal email address, which is surefirestudios@aol.com. That's S-H-O-R-E, Fire Studios.
Sure. Shore, like down the Jersey Shore.
Exactly.
Down the shore.
Or also same surefirestudios@gmail.com. Either one. I get them both.
At Gmail. Okay, yeah, very good. Yeah. We'd like to hear from people.
Absolutely.
See if they like this or not. And like I said, maybe we can keep it going. Talk to some people. I know your son's also a musician.
Yeah, I got a couple of my guys. I got one guy that plays the drums.
Okay.
He studied with another phenomenal musician. Another legend, well, not that I'm putting myself in that category, because I'm certainly not, but I consider him a local legend, Joe Nivolo, phenomenal
okay.
drummer.
Yeah,
you know, and my son was lucky enough to study with him for a while. And
awesome.
So he's got that under his belt. And then I have a younger guy that he raps, you know, but,
right.
you know, he does his thing, and I support him as much as I can, you know, here at the studio, and, you know, encourage him to do his music, and... You know, we'll see what happens. You
it's
know?
Whatever floats your boat, you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's his passion. So, yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not going to tell him not to do it because,
of course
you
not.
Know, you know, whether or not I like that music or not,
right.
you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's irrelevant. You know,
got to do what you love.
That's right. He has a passion for it. He loves to do it. He enjoys it. So my parents, you know, certainly encouraged me to do my music when I was younger. And so... Try and pass the torch on.
When I have my kids trapped in the car, I put the Beatles station on,
yeah, man.
On the Sirius, you know, and I try to order some old metal, the Ozzy station and stuff, and they're like, oh, come on, Dad, give me a break.
Yeah.
I try to listen to their stuff, too, and trying to get into it. You
yeah.
know, it's it's different, but.
Well, I guess it was the same when we were growing up and, you know, our parents were playing their music. You know, fortunately, I mean, like I said, I grew up, you know, in a pretty eclectic household with the music and, you know, my folks had Sinatra going all the time and, you know, a lot of, you know, ethnic Italian music, you know,
right.
so, and I actually, you know, loved it,
yeah.
you know, so, I mean, I come, you know, from a pretty musical background, I guess, even though my parents weren't musicians, but my mother's father was an opera singer in Italy. And,
okay.
You know, so I guess it comes from that side of the family. And, you know, so I certainly, you know, love all kinds of music. I'm not just a rock and roller here.
Right, right.
You know? And, yeah. I record all kinds of music here at the studio. You know, I mean, I like to think that I'm not pigeonholed to just being a rock guy. You
right.
know what I mean? It's right. like... Sometimes I get calls and people say, oh, you know, can you, you know, I'm doing a jazz record. Can you, you know, record a jazz drum set? I'm like, really? It's like, you know, it's a drum set.
Right.
I mean, if it sounds, you know, if you make it sound like, a, you know, the way you want it to sound out the room, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to capture it.
Right.
You know, make it sound, you know, I mean, I know what, you know, drums are supposed to sound like.
Right,
whether
right.
it's, you know, rock or jazz or country or, you know, hip hop
sure.
or whatever it is.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, sometimes it boggles my mind. I get calls like that. But unfortunately, you know, I guess people are misinformed or whatever. And
or they don't know.
Yeah, you know, they don't know. And, you yeah. know, maybe you just get a, you know, kind of a rap as being, you know, this rock guy or this guy or that guy. But, you know, I like to think that, you know, I'm pretty versatile as far as recording goes.
Yeah, I mean, from when I was here recording with you, I could tell... production-wise, just you just the way you talk, the way you act, the way you handle things, you know what's going on. I can tell.
That's experience.
Yeah.
You do it long enough, hopefully, you get proficient at it, and people, like what you do, and they keep coming back. So I've been fortunate, knock on wood, to, like I said, still be doing it.
Yeah.
Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring, but,
It seems like you know how to get the best out of musicians.
I try.
So it seems like to me, from my experience.
You got to be a little bit part psychologist, part engineer, part friend. Sometimes you got to be the bad guy, but, you just try and... work with everybody on their level and make them, for me, it's just making sure everybody's comfortable out in the room, because if you're not comfortable, it's so hard to perform, playing live, it's the same thing, so it's, you got to be comfortable in your surroundings and the people you're working with.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're going to not have a good experience.
Right.
It's
the experience that you have.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's been people up here that haven't, haven't been happy, whatever. Like I said, you can't please everybody,
right.
But you do what you do. And like I said, at the end of the day, hopefully people, appreciate what you do and they're happy and they come back. So
give me a story. You got a story?
Well, I got lots of stories, but,
give me one of your favorites. Something cool that happened up here.
Something cool that happened up here. All right. Well, it's going to the person is going to remain nameless.
Of course.
Very, very famous drummer. And it was just one of those things where we didn't get along, and it didn't go well, for either of us. Mostly for him, because unfortunately I had to kick him out of here. And anybody who knows me, even halfway, decently knows that I'm a pretty chill guy. And it really would take an awful lot to get under my skin. And have me kick you out of here.
So it must have been bad then.
It was pretty bad, yeah. It went on for like an hour before I finally said to him, I don't care what record you played on. I don't care who you play with. I don't need your money. I don't need your attitude. Get out.
Beat it.
Yeah, because he thought I guess I was just like some flunky kind of, dude that was just, engineering the record. He didn't know that I owned the studio.
Right.
But, since then we've worked together and we tolerate each other. Let's put it that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, sometimes it happens. Yeah. You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
This
is true. Let's also mention your Instagram too.
So I have an Instagram. It's Surefire Recording. Come follow me. Check me out there, and I will certainly follow back.
We want to try, like I said, put this up on the website, maybe a link on Facebook.
Yep.
And get this thing going.
Yeah. So hopefully it'll lead to some bigger and better things for this podcast thing.
Here on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, man.
The real Jersey Shore, not the Situations Jersey Shore.
Yeah, that's it.
I heard the Situations in a little situation himself right now.
Yep.
So, all right, cool, man. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think for the first one? What do you think?
I think it was great.
Yeah.
We certainly touched on a couple of key, moments in my life. And, for what it's worth, if anybody's even remotely interested in that, that's it.
I think they will be. I think some people are going to be interested. Hopefully we'll get some emails from them.
Say
the email again.
Oh, yeah. Email again is Surefire Studios, like down the shore, SureFireStudios. SureFireStudios@AOL.com or at gmail.com.
Cool. Let us know what you think, people.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. I'm Dave Springer.
I'm Joe DeMeo.
Keep on rocking.
Yeah.
And recording.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks, dude. See you, Joe.
Take care, buddy.
All right, buddy.